NIL guidelines. Judge Clifton Corker granted Tennessee and Virginia a preliminary injunction following a hearing in Greenville, Tennessee back in February.
Big Cliff Corker, the big W.
Yeah, sure. Come on in. Florida, D.C., who else? New York?
Yep.
Come on in. Where were you guys a couple months ago when we needed strength in numbers? I'll be honest. I didn't even realize. I mean, what is this? This is still a thing? I thought that the NCAA sort of backed down once they got the injunction. Do we still have to go through technicalities, essentially, to get this thing finished up? Or you don't know?
Well,
I'm asking. Bear, you're the legal expert here. I mean,
I'm having some issues here right now, Russ.
Yeah?
Yeah. Try not to screw up the podcast.
Somebody's bugging you. They tell them to get out of there. We're trying to do a radio show.
No, nobody's in here. I'm really trying hard not to completely screw up the podcast.
Yeah. Well, it'll be interesting to see. I guess we still have to go to court over this, evidently, but hopefully it is a fait accompli.
Yeah, I mean,
I can use that word correctly.
I just keep going back to what Justice Kavanaugh said. He basically told him you can't enforce any of your rules. It's not legal. There's no way to do that legally. So, you know, going off of that, we're kind of in this limbo, like, period right now where there's really no rules.
At number two, three Milwaukee Brewers, including manager Pat Murphy, along with Tampa Bay outfielder Jose Siri, received suspension for their roles that led to a benches clearing incident between the two teams in the eighth inning of their game last night. Brewers starting pitcher Freddy Peralta received a five-game suspension for intentionally throwing at Siri during the top of the sixth inning of the Brewers' 8-2 victory, while reliever Abner Uribe received six games after he and Siri squared off against each other two innings later.
Yikes, what happened? Just hit by pitch, back and forth.
Yeah, guy throwing behind a guy. So, been a while since we've had a big brawl like that.
I mean, was it a brawl? I haven't seen any footage. Did they come out and throw punches, or did they just come out and stare at each other and
punches
talk
were
some
thrown.
Trash?
Okay. Punches were thrown.
Yeah, the umpire had a lot of fault in that, the way that all went down.
I will say it did not reach the level of, say, the Pirates-Reds brawl back, what was that, 5 years ago, or the Mariners and Angels brawl, but it got up there.
That's
what
you'll
see on highlight.
It's got to be wild for our guy Zach the Clubby here, who we talked to in the first hour. His boy who just got called up from the Brewers to the big leagues.
Yeah.
So he gets there his first day.
He's got to fight.
There's a huge brawl. I guess you gotta at least go out there and act like you're ready to throw down, even though you don't know anybody on your own team, let alone the other team.
You don't really have a beef with anybody. What's your all-time favorite brawl, Russell? The infamous Yankees-Red Sox where Pedro hip-tossed poor Don Zimmer?
That was a good one. I mean, there was one back in the 60s. It was it Juan Marichal, like, went after, like, hit some dude over the head with a bat.
It's back when men were men.
Almost killed him.
Seems like a little out of line, a little out of order.
Little out of line yourself. There have been some good ones through the years. I was watching, and we can circle back to this, there, you know, John Boy on YouTube. He did a video about, he was like just watching a random World Series game from like 1970. I think it was the Orioles and the Mets. And he was just like all the differences in the game back then. Like, remember growing up when the guy sliding into second would just take a guy out?
Yeah, spike him. Spikes high.
And that was just part of the game. Right. And I remember it happened a couple of years ago to a guy on, I can't remember the player, but got his leg broken. Is it Miguel Tejada? Maybe somebody broke their leg. And it wasn't even a particularly dirty play, but he ended up breaking his leg. And
you just don't see that much anymore. Anyway, in 1970 World Series, you can go see it. Like, the guy is running at it. He doesn't even try to slide. He just, like, barrel rolls at second base into the shortstop, breaking up a double play, and nobody says anything. It's just like, yep, that's how the game was played.
Did you guys not see?
Oh, now the benches are clearing, and you might have some punches thrown nowadays.
You see what my guy Aaron Judge pulled over the weekend? He raised one of his 7-foot-long arms up in the air, and the throw from second to going to first for the double play hit his hand. That big oven mitt looking thing on it.
I guess they call anything? Is it?
No, I think they let the runner take, or the batter take, first base.
You got A-Rod swatting the ball from the Red Sox first baseman, and then you have Aaron Judge sticking up his oven mitt to deflect it. Some really fine integrity they're
teaching
up there.
Let's circle back to the oven mitt. We need to talk about the oven mitt. It's time we have a national conversation about this. Continue, Tucker.
At number three, do have two NBA playoff games tonight. The Heat and the Celtics are playing each other on TNT at 7:30. That game is in TD Garden. Celtics are favored by 13.5 in that one. They lead the series 3-1 over the Heat. You get the Mavericks playing the Clippers at 10 on TNT in LA. The Mavs, though, are favored by 3.5 over the Clippers.
Clippers in that new arena yet?
Well, it's not a new arena. They just changed the name, right? No, or did they depart from Staples Center?
They're building a new arena in L.A. I'm not sure if it's Staples Center.
Well, I know Staples Center changed the name to, like, Crypto.com.
Crypto.com?
Yeah.
I think they're still in there, but last I'd heard, the Clippers were going to build a new arena in L.A. as well.
So it's still Crypto.com arena that they're playing in right now.
I guess one of the L.A. teams is still playing.
Yeah. At number four, quick look at an MLB scoreboard as we have several games in progress, a couple that have gone final. The Tigers take the series against the Cardinals with a 4-1 victory today. The Brewers defeated the Rays 7-1. No brawls to speak of in that game. And going back to Zach the Clubby, his boy Tyler Black, 3 of 7 in his first two games in the big league.
Wow.
So a good start for Tyler Black. We just watched the Twins defeat the White Sox 10-5 in here in Chicago. You've got the Blue Jays ahead of the Royals. Or excuse me, I totally misread that. Royals up 6-1 on the Blue Jays in the bottom of the eighth. You got the A's beating the Pirates right now 3-0 in the top of the seventh. That game in Oakland. You got the Phillies playing the Angels 2-1 lead for the Phillies in the middle of the third. Reds lead the Padres 1-0 in the middle of the fourth. And the Atlanta Braves ahead 5-0 in the bottom of the fifth in Seattle.
Yeah, good deal. Needed that one. Don't want to get swept at Seattle with a trip to the Dodgers looming.
And you got several games later tonight. You've got the Cubs playing the Mets in Citi Field at 7:10. Yankees playing the Orioles at 6:35. Yankees trying to win one game in that series. And you got the Rockies playing the Marlins at 6:40 as well. Hey. Jordan Beck, 2 of 4 last night.
Honcho hitting .500 in the big leagues.
Second pitch, smoked one.
It did not end well.
Yeah. Things take time.
And finally, at number five, hundreds of onlookers gathered in Manhattan's Union Square Park to watch an anonymous man in an orange mask devour an entire jar of cheese balls. I decided to do this because I thought New York City could use something like this, the man said.
Gross.
Cheese balls are funny, and eating an entire jar of them is a difficult task, but not impossible. It started with ominous posters popping up around the area in the weeks leading up to the main event. Watch me eat this entire jar of cheese balls, the poster read, with a photo of the man in a ski mask holding a giant jar of cheese balls. For whatever reason, the man attracted onlookers, and they shouted, "Cheese ball man," and "eat those cheese balls" as he consumed them.
Hey. It's troubled times like these, a lot of civil unrest out there in the streets, Tucker, that we need people who can bring us together.
Need some form of unison.
Enter cheese ball man.
That's absolutely disgusting.
Oh, I agree.
That is gross, man.
That's one of those things where, like, I've gotten them in the past at the store. Because you're like, yeah, man, those things look like they'd be good. And you get them after you eat like five or six of them, I'm done.
Nah, dude, I can't remember the last time I ate one of those. We're talking about like Cheetos, right? Basically, those kind of crunchy, like.
The brown balls, the cheese balls.
The cheese doesn't taste quite as good as Cheetos, though. So.
Gross.
But this guy decided it would be a good idea.
Anything he hopes to accomplish other than just bringing people together?
I think that's the main goal.
All right, well, good for him. Thank you, Tucker. That is the top five at five, brought to you by the Tennessee Smokies. We're out here at Smoky Stadium for another hour doing the thing, getting ready for a little overtime headed your way next. Smokies taking on the Biloxi Shuckers at 7 o'clock. A little less than 2 hours, plenty of time for you to grab the wife and kids, or maybe just come by yourself. Sit out underneath the sun, have a cold beer, maybe a hot dog, ice cream, something like that, and enjoy the great American pastime. Smoky Stadium, come enjoy a nine-inning vacation, and don't forget Fan Run Night at Smoky Stadium coming up 4 weeks from tomorrow night. We are super excited about this event. There's going to be plenty of time for you to get free tickets to that game, and then you can come out and enjoy the game with us. We're going to have some great prizes to give away, especially to the 37 Club and other Fan Run swag to give to anybody who comes out to Fan Run Night out here at Smokies Stadium. 865-288-3131, your number. We'll go open lines the rest of the way here, folks. Let's load them up. Let's get some conversation going. Shout out to Baskerville for joining us this afternoon. He lets me know the Clippers will be playing in the new Intuit Arena next season.
They're building it right next to the Forum is what I was told.
Ah, the Great Western Forum. Great memories of watching Lakers games there. I never got to go there, but just on,
I was always on TV.
The voice I hear in my head is Dick Stockton on CBS in the 1980s doing Showtime Lakers games from the Great Western Forum.
So I hate that they, you know, I realize they want new amenities and all that, but I hate seeing them leave some of the play, you know, arenas, stadiums. I mean, some I understand.
Did you see Jon Stewart from The Daily Show last night at the Madison Square Garden when Maxie hit that shot?
No, huh?
To force overtime?
You go nuts?
He was just, he had the thousand-yard stare on his face. They panned over to him. It looked like he had seen a ghost. The Knicks are going to rue that. They had a 6-point lead with, 15 seconds? I want to say maybe to go and end up blowing it. Maxey makes a 4-point play and then pulls up from the logo, the midcourt logo, basically, and drains a three to force overtime. The 76ers go on to win to keep that series alive. Knicks blow that one.
Yeah, their fans are they're on snap alert already.
They'll be kicking themselves.
Yeah.
Brad in La Follette is next. What's up, Brad?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Going well. How are you, sir?
Good. I hate to miss Bob. I can't call him in the morning show, but I wanted to tell him I think he's doing a good job. You relay that information for me?
I will pass that along, and I'm sure I speak for Bob when I say thank you very much, Brad and La Follette.
All right. Russ, I got an idea. It's probably too late. But, man, it would have been because Houston Kress said the other day that he's fishing this tournament and he's representing the drive, right?
Yes.
You should have sent Tucker with him to do some real-time reporting.
Ooh.
That would have been a really, really cool idea.
Is he taking his boat? Like, is there room for you on the boat?
There might be. It's not a very big boat.
Nah, man, those things are low to the ground, low to the water, too.
Yeah, is it one of those things like my grandpa used to have this boat where it had like the one chair on the platform at the front of it?
Yeah, but you can't sit in that boats? While you're – yeah, you can't sit in that thing while you're roaring down a lake.
No, there's usually you like, cannot.
I can't remember how many people can fit in – I think Kress has told me that the four of us could go on the boat.
Yeah, I mean, if you watch the tournaments that they have on Saturdays, I mean, they have cameramen and everything in the boat.
Well, we should do that.
Yeah, but I think he'd probably already be riding around with a couple of different people, so it would be tough to fit.
We say that, I feel like I would be miserable after, 15 minutes of that.
That is true, because if it's, like, windy out there or something.
Or just hot.
Yeah.
Just sitting on a lake fishing with Kress. I'd rather watch, the parking lot. Just stare at asphalt for an hour than to go fishing.
Could you imagine how mad Kress would be if he got hung in a tree? You got Tucker over there live streaming, saying, "Oh yeah, he messed up on that cast." Oh, Kress would probably throw his stuff in the lake.
Well, we've been out here 5 hours, still waiting on Kress to catch a fish. I thought you were good at this thing, dude.
Yeah, it's a good thing you got a day job, radio job.
Oh, he would be mad.
Oh man, guys, my internet's been jacked up today. I haven't had to listen to much of the show.
What's that, Brad? You cut out for a second.
Oh, sorry about that. Yeah, my internet's been kind of messed up. I didn't get to listen to the first of the show. What was your thoughts on last night's game? I mean, what the heck happened?
Yeah, you know, I go back to a comment Tony had. Was it the last midweek game where we pounded somebody? And Tony did like a Saban-esque rant afterwards talking about how he didn't feel like the focus was there in the dugout.
Bellarmine, maybe?
Yeah, I think so. And I wonder if it's kind of a similar deal. I wonder if... You know, maybe the boys just aren't as dialed in as they need to be a little bit, because here's the other thing, man. That Lipscomb team, I know they made the tournament last year. They were in the regional at Clemson with us. We just didn't play them. But I think they've got they're like 15 and 25 or something.
15 and 27 is what they are now.
So, I mean, that's not a very good team to begin with. And they came in here and, I mean, it wasn't particularly close. They put the hammer down on us. So I wonder if, you know, that's kind of where my mind went back to, was the focus there, or are we starting to maybe read the press clippings a little bit? Because if that's the case, Brad, then you could spin this as a good thing. Maybe we needed the wake-up call. Better to get it now than in, you know, the tournament.
Yeah, it's a midweek game. I mean, I don't think it's anything to jump up and down about, but that center fielder for Lipscomb, I mean, is it – I have no idea. Tucker, you may know, is he that good, or did he just have a really good game against us? I mean, he had two home runs, right?
I'll be honest, I've never heard of that guy, but he was making just crazy plays last night. So,
is that the same guy who hit two home runs too?
I forget.
They were up for it. Their focus was ready. I mean, they're coming in here a chance to beat the number three team in the country, and they reveled in it.
All right, guys. That's all I got. Talk to you later.
Thank you, Brad. Appreciate the phone call. 865-288-3131, your number to get on the program with us this afternoon. Coming up, we'll take a look at Tennessee and the basketball transfer portal. We were already talking about this a little bit with, I believe it was Joshy Boy, towards the end of hour number one, and just sort of in a holding pattern there. We'll run through what Tennessee has gotten done, plus Kentucky and Arkansas now forever linked because of John Calipari's defection there, but both teams making some key additions and shaping up to be a big year in the SEC next year. We'll talk about that, more of your phone calls as well, when we continue live from Smoky Stadium in Sevierville right here on Fan Run Radio.
Just Blaze.
Oh, baby.
Killer. All the girls see them. Look at his kicks. Look at his car. All I say is,
Look, mommy, I'm no good. I'm so hood. Clap at your soldiers. Sober, then leave after it's over. Killer, I'm not your companion. Boy, you may stand. Don't hit me.
Back to Drive. It's Fan Run Radio coming to you live from Smoky Stadium in Sevierville. Getting ready for the Smokies and the Shuckers. Is that an oyster reference?
Yes. You shuck an oyster.
Shuck an oyster.
What'd Bob call him? The Biloxi?
The Biloxi, yeah.
Indiana came out at him.
For such a man of the world, I was a little surprised there.
He's one of us now. It's like something happens when you come to work over here and start butchering English language regularly. Biloxi.
Go on down to Biloxi.
It also might be I grew up in the Midwest kind of thing. Like, what do they call Vols? Vols?
Vols. Yeah.
Biloxi.
Christopher Gabriel has that affliction.
Yeah, he does. I've noticed that about him. So.
Well, I'm told one of the guys to watch tonight, Tucker, is Smokey's third baseman, Matt Shaw. He was the Cubs' number one pick out of Maryland last year, and I'm told is a future MLB star.
Hmm. Why does that name sound familiar?
I don't know. Maryland is an interesting place to produce a – here's one thing about this college baseball thing is you're going to need some other teams and other conferences to be good. You know, can that sport – continue to grow, and it's seen phenomenal growth the past couple of years in SEC markets, right? SEC baseball has become a big thing, but you know, the ACC, the Big 12, some of these other, you know, whatever happens out west, you're gonna have to pick it up, because I don't know that, you know, the people who really want to see this sport taken to the next level, more games televised, more, you know, we talked about could you play some conference games earlier in the week, and you know, Monday through Wednesday series, things like that. If that's going to happen, the sport is going to have to grow outside just the 14, now 16 SEC cities.
Yeah, it's interesting because you've got, of course, the SEC and Big Ten with the two big TV deals in football, but looking at the Big Ten right now, and this may help a little bit with UCLA, USC, and I guess Oregon and Washington have decent teams from time to time, but you look at the Big Ten year in and year out, it's just not as good, or just baseball is not as paid attention to quite as much as it is down here. You might have a team like Michigan back in 2019 when they lost to Vanderbilt in the College World Series that does well every now and again, but overall, there's just not as much of care about it, and part of that has to do with the fact that it's not sanctioned everywhere. Like, they care more about hockey up there in some places than they do their baseball, so we'll see if it actually grows up there or not, but it would definitely help the brand of college baseball if it were to do so.
Shout out to Brett Hollander from the morning, the G.I. Jake show this afternoon. Little nugget here, free agent wide receiver Tyler Boyd was in Los Angeles to meet this week with the Chargers. Will also head to the Titans later this week. Jeremy Fowler, ESPN, the market should heat up for Boyd, who has 513 catches for 6,000 yards over eight seasons with Cincinnati. And, yeah, he's been a good player for them.
Yeah, he's quietly put together a nice career. He's never been in the spotlight. Of course, A.J. Green was there with him for a good bit of time. And then, of course, more recently, you brought in T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase. Now he's going to have to settle elsewhere. Will he be the number one guy? If he were to go to a place, it would be the Chargers if he were to do that, right? Because they didn't draft anybody in the first round that was worthy of that.
Yeah, well, can Brian Callahan lure him to Tennessee in a system that he'll presumably be familiar with?
That's a good point, too, because he's obviously familiar with that offense. And maybe it's suiting because he's not, like I said, been ever at the forefront of an offensive system like he was in Cincinnati, so he can kind of take that back seat to DeAndre Hopkins, Calvin Ridley in Tennessee without any kind of issue.
I feel like that would be a pretty good pickup for the boys, for the two-tone blue. Tyler Boyd will file that.
we recruited him. The Vols did. Like, he was a and I know he went to Pitt, but I don't know if he had ended up transferring there or something, but I remember Tennessee being in on him.
Hmm.
And this has got to be 10 years ago when he was coming out of high school. But I feel like he was in that Josh Malone era of wide receivers that we were recruiting.
He was a very, very good receiver at Pittsburgh for three seasons
obviously,
he was there.
Yeah. Yeah. He's hung around the NFL for as long as he had.
Like, I know they were in on him as a freshman to start up there.
Let's get Will in here next. Will, you're on the drive. It's Fan Run Radio.
Hey, you guys started talking about something that opened up an opportunity for me to bring up my idea. The growth of college baseball. One of my big complaints about SEC baseball is the fact that you do not get to play all these teams every year. So it's just like football in that regard, but in a sport where there's so many games,
yeah,
and you're playing 30 conference games, you're still only playing 10 teams.
Mm.
And piggybacking on the NBA's idea of the mid-season tournament, I wonder if you took your opponents, I don't know how many common there would be, but you had a sort of mid-season round robin where you just got everybody together at a neutral site and played a one game against each of the teams that, you know, were not in your little pod to play that year. How cool that might be. Basically, you take two from the East, two from the West, and throw them in a neutral site and let them play a one game apiece. That way, you know, we get somebody like Arkansas this year. We get A&M.
It's an interesting idea. The idea I have just sitting here thinking is, you know, now that these sports, particularly in the SEC, these guys are making a little bit of money, I would imagine, is, you know, why can't I think we all agree 162 games is too much, but we have 15 league opponents now. Why can't we play them all three times? And I feel like you could probably get that done without extending the season at all, really, if you do what we're talking about, where you have one series Monday through Wednesday and then one Friday through Sunday. And I know there's going to be travel concerns and these guys got to go to school, but it feels like if you could divvy that up to where you're on the road once a week and at home once a week, that you could get that done. And a lot, I know that's six games a week, but it's an interesting thought, because you look at the pros and say, oh man, they play so many games. But I'm with you, Will. It's a shame that there are four teams we're not seeing this year, and two of them happen to be the top two teams in the country. And that, you know, there's going to be six teams, I guess, that you're not seeing next year, or the three teams, five teams that you're not going to be seeing next year in the SEC, and it's going to be harder to get to all those teams. So I just wonder if there might be some creative solutions there to where you can see these teams a little bit more often, and we get more baseball, which is a good thing.
Yeah, I think it could be a blend of both. I hate that. I mean, there's a lot of things I don't like about conference expansion, but one of them is it appears you're going to see teams less and less, you know, like, especially if they're on the opposite side of your conference. But it's important to me to continue to play Ole Miss every once in a while. Play, you know, and it just puts them further down the schedule, I guess you could say. But just a thought, and definitely think more baseball is a good thing.
It's a great thought, Will. Great phone call, man. We appreciate it.
Thankfully, I think with divisions going away and the hypothetical, 3-6 model with football scheduling in the SEC that they think will be here by 2026, hopefully that should happen less. You'll be able to see teams more often because you'll have those six alternating opponents.
Bear, what do you think about, I mean, is that just a pipe dream, just dismissed out of hand? These guys go to school. There's no way you can make it work. Six games a week for whatever that 14 weeks. I mean, it feels like once expansion, again, we're already missing a couple of teams here. Once expansion hits, it's there's just no way you're going to see everybody very often.
No, that's why I really think they're going to – we'll end up with something closer to – it's crazy. I've talked about it before, but I think as crazy as it sounds, eventually we will get back to almost what the original conferences were when we started off, when it gets split up into divisions and they have to start revenue sharing with players. The powers that they aren't going to want to spend all this money flying coast to coast all the time. And I think it's, you're going to see it pared back down. That's what I think is going to happen. But
well, I just wonder if there's, you know, a way you can move. And we're having some radical solutions here. But in my mind, you can move the College World Series back to July, the end of July, early August, and extend the season a little bit so that if you're going to consider doing that, where you play everybody and you're playing two series a week instead of just one, you could do that in the summertime, summer school, when the course load theoretically isn't too high and guys, you don't have to take the full 12 hours then, right? You could just take your two classes, and that would not put theoretically as much of a burden on the student athlete.
It's good for us too. Gives us more to talk
That's
about.
That's what I'm thinking. I'm 100% selfish in this.
I mean, it's just another example of football's kind of, I don't know if you'd want to say screwing up things for everybody, but I mean, football's kind of dragging all the other college sports along with it when, you know, things were kind of just fine when we were at, you know, at 12 teams.
That's what I would say to listeners, because I'm thinking it too, but I know people are saying, oh, that's ridiculous, Russell. They would never be able to have two series a week. I mean, just the time that guys have to invest in a game. I don't think it's really that much more time than football players invest every single day during the season.
No, and it's not, I mean, like basketball. I realize they don't have six games, but
meetings, film study, time on the training table, and then practice. Those guys are investing 8-hour days into football easily and going to school.
Yeah, the biggest problem I could see is just the pitching staffs.
Yeah.
You know, if you're playing conference games, you're going to be throwing.
That's a really good point.
Yeah, and you would have to work more than a 3-man rotation, go closer to MLB with the five.
At least five, probably six.
Yeah.
I mean,
you'd have to seriously expand your bullpen, so I don't know. It's one of the downsides
cool
of
though, 15 series, everybody plays everybody three games.
That would be really fun.
You'd have a really good sample of who was
the really the best. Because right now, it to me, it kind of looks like what, A&M.
Well, we've gotten very lucky here, not drawing A&M and
Arkansas.
The scheduling gods were kind to Tony Vitello this year.
Did we ever go back and circle back to that and really dig into that whole deal?
All right, so I sent you guys this. Let's pull it up here for people who are just joining us so we get the correct quote here. But Jim Schlossnagel is the head coach at Texas A&M, who Vitello worked under at TCU back in the day.
Yeah, good friend of Vitello's, right?
Says on Tex Ags, which is a website radio show. Yeah, On3 affiliate down there. He says that an SEC school got busted for having a live feed up to the opponent dugout all year. He says, quote, "I don't know if people know it yet. I'm not going to reveal it. They're hitting 306 at home and 206 on the road." A live feed to the opponent dugout. So is that basically me? What does that mean? What are you getting from the opponent dugout? You're just like
signals.
They're signals. I mean, does a camera have sound?
Yeah. Can you? It's like Frank Anderson is calling the pitches into a walkie-talkie, or so. You hear what they're saying and stuff?
Sounds like it.
That's interesting.
There's a lot of dirtiness. It's baseball.
But the internet sleuths apparently are saying Arkansas would fit the mold of a team that went from hitting 306 to, like, they went way down since this
down
was found out.
Points.
Yeah, but the other thing is, you know, you're counting your midweek game just baby club ceilings get factored into that. as I imagine, are at home. Everybody's, if you're in the SEC, typically everybody's at home batting average is probably higher simply because you've got that one game a week where usually most SEC schools murder the ball against these lower level schools.
Because, you know, schools since Tennessee has become a factor in this thing have always pointed, you had the Jordan Beck bat incident, the sticker gate, whatever happened there.
Yeah.
And then people have accused Tennessee players of being on the roids online all for the past couple of years. We've all seen that, right?
Yeah, the whole Evan Russell thing two years ago.
We've all seen that stuff.
I just assume that about half these kids are, regardless of school.
I don't. I mean, like, how can you – we don't have any evidence to support that. But my thought is, well, here this year, everybody wants to make a big deal of whatever Tennessee's been doing. We've got Vanderbilt. Our two biggest rivals, Vanderbilt and Arkansas, have been caught blatantly cheating.
Georgia appears to have as well.
Oh, that guy cold busted, dude. Did you see the way that ball was ripping, Tucker?
Yeah.
That's a John Boy video as well. If you don't know what we're talking about, go look that up. The Georgia pitcher last week was definitely a little bit of a, shall we say, a foreign substance on the ball.
Gaylord Perry Award. I mean, that ball was – if I can see that it's significantly different, like the spin rate coming off your hand, that thing was just snapping. He was just throwing nasty.
Tucker, have you seen The Naked Gun, any of those films?
I've not.
Oh, my goodness.
We got to have some summer homework for Tucker.
If he had driven here, I would send him home right now and tell him not to come back to work until he's watched that movie. Maybe the best baseball scene in cinematic history.
It's Enrico Palazzo.
you gotta watch The Naked Gun.
He's got to kind of ignore the fact that
comedic genius, the genius of Leslie Nielsen, aka Frank Drebin.
Nordberg's in there.
Yeah, OJ. All right, quick timeout. We'll be back to wrap things up. Speak now, forever hold your peace. 865-288-3131, your number. 288-3131 if you want to get on board. It is The Drive back with the shocking conclusion right after this. Fan Radio, The Drive continues, wrapping up on a Wednesday afternoon edition of the show. I want to thank the folks out here at Smoky Stadium for having us out. A first-class operation, as always. And I don't miss coming up here, man. This has been a great, great ballpark.
It's not. Yeah, it's a really nice drive, too. I mean, it's not that, you know.
You get to stop at Bucky's.
Drive up kind of towards the mountains.
Yeah, you come on up here. By the way, Tucker, we will be stopping at Bucky's on the way back out.
Why?
Well. I just want to let you know. Why not?
That's why you shouldn't have ridden with him, dude.
I don't understand the obsession.
Once is good, twice is twice as nice.
It's just so strange.
It's just awful.
This is awful. I mean, we had a very good time up there. Good meal, in and out. Tucker did not use the restroom. He did not avail. How can you go into Bucky's and not avail yourself of the facilities?
Because you don't have to. If you don't have to go, you don't have to go.
It's like telling my kids before we go somewhere, hey, be sure use the bathroom.
Right.
Go potty, as we used to tell them when they were younger, before we go. And they say, I don't need to. And then inevitably 5 minutes, I gotta go to the bathroom.
Just don't drink a bunch of water before you go driving.
Gotta stay hydrated, man.
Exactly.
Or at least don't chug it all at once.
Well, and when the point though, young Tucker, is when the restrooms are that clean, like it kind of makes me wanna go, even if I don't really have to. Is that weird?
It is weird.
Make it a little weird?
It's like the Walmart of gas stations. I'll stick with my mom and pops, where they got the pickled sausages in that pink liquid in the jar on the counter.
That sounds... No, that is truly awful. That's truly awful. I mean, you were just a fountain of bad advice. Who, sorry, was that mean?
Me or Tucker?
So, we're getting set to hang out here at the ballpark for a little while and have a cold beverage under the East Tennessee sun, as men do. Watch a little baseball, hopefully, here tonight. The reason I brought up the Naked Gun, Tucker, was well, just a great baseball scene to end that movie. It's what, like 20 minutes long, maybe half an hour? It's the culmination. Jackson and
the Queen.
But anyway, there's a scene where would make the Georgia pitcher blush, where the great Leslie Nielsen is the umpire. He's looking for the killer, and he goes out to the mound and checking the pitcher. He's got, what does he have here? He's got a jar of Vaseline under his hat.
Yeah, he's got a belt sander.
Sander.
Yes. He's got all kinds of stuff. It was, it was kind of a caricature of the Necros and Gaylord Perry back in the day. But it was, it wasn't far off. I mean, it was definitely embellished and made to look funny. But I remember the days when they'd find all kinds of stuff on guys. Nail files. Didn't somebody remember, Russ, he had a nail file that he had inside his glove? Like, he slid it, like, in the seam, like in the palm where all that padding's built up, mm-hmm. and the pitcher had it slid up in there. What are some other things? Guys would take thumbtacks and just barely the point of them be sticking out so they could kind of scuff around and scratch the baseballs up.
Golly, man. It's just all kinds of crazy stuff goes on in this game, doesn't it? Nobody's clean. If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. That's why I can't even, people are I saw some of the reaction to the allegedly Arkansas. I'm not 100% certain that it's Arkansas, the team that got caught with the camera or whatever that Jim Schlossnagel was alluding to. But there are people online, he should be fired for that. And I don't know, man. If you've got a video camera system that you're using, that's pretty Astros-y, shall we say, right?
Oh, so, yeah. Yeah, 100%.
Something should happen. I'm not saying he should get off scot-free, but there is a part of me that's just like, everybody's doing this stuff, right? The bandy
I don't
guy
think Tony
something
is.
On the arm. I mean, listen, I would love to see it. When it happens to a holier-than-thou type, like Tim Corbin, we're the Vandy boys, we do things the right way, whatever his whole thing is.
Your boy had spider grip or whatever that stuff's called on his hand or on his uniform. Yeah, they all cheat. It's
Russell, like I told you before we got on air today, scumbags accusing scumbags of being scumbags. That's what it is.
Yeah. Corbin just needs to be honest. Yeah, his pitcher was dirty. The Georgia pitcher's dirty. DVH is probably cheating, and I'm man enough to admit that I'm not sure what was going on with Jordan Beck's bat down there in Nashville.
It would be really funny if DVH got the book thrown at him because they've had such a good season. And
well, he kind of acts holier than thou too, doesn't he?
Well, he and Vitello got into it three years ago here at Lindsey Nelson.
Yeah, we're still beefing with him. He hadn't apologized. So.
Shout out to the 37 Club on the Fan Run Discord. Join the 37 Club so that you can join the Fan Run Discord. Justin Hanna says the rumor is Kress is going to drive 2 hours down to Savannah to have dinner with Justin Hanna. Bear, you buy a man who won't go 10 minutes out of his way at times to. Is going to drive 2 hours to have dinner?
Hell no.
With crazy Justin Hanna?
No. I told him not to hold his breath. He ain't going down there no damn 2 hours. Would you really want to hang? I mean, he's going to smell like fish and lake, Justin. Why would you want to hang out with him? Hey, we've got Russ. We do have somebody who's been trying. He's had a ton of phone problems. He's been trying to get on with us all week.
I'm just sitting here looking at the group text and wondering how Tucker was able to tell me the caller before you did.
Because
he was texting me privately.
The caller was telling me that he was trying to call in, so I told Bear that he was
been
trying to
managing this and keeping it so that I can
do your show.
I appreciate that. Yeah, thank you. All right, Stevie.
Tiger team here for you.
Meow.
Stevie, you're on the drive, Fan Run Radio. Good afternoon, sir. Stevie, easy now, buddy. Easy,
yeah.
Bud.
Hey, Stevie.
Huh?
Stevie, you ever scream in my ear like that again? Just saying hello. It's not going to go well for you. Go ahead with your call.
I'm sorry, Bear. Will you forgive me?
Yeah. As soon as my ears stop ringing. Go ahead with your call, buddy. You ain't got much time.
So Houston's going to go to Savannah to hang out with what's his name, but he's not going to come to the Braves game with Stevie? Is that what I'm hearing?
Well, we're actually still working through that, Stevie. New management has told me we're trying to find a place, perhaps down in the Battery somewhere, that we can broadcast from, because we got to make sure that the show happens first and foremost. But we're trying to make this happen for you.
Anyway, I thought that draft was hilarious, Russell. All these quarterbacks that they took in the first round, these guys are going to be selling cars in their local cities in 3 years.
First of all, you don't know that. Second of all, auto sales is a right honorable profession.
I test drove a car today, Russell.
Really? What'd you drive?
It was a 2018 Subaru Outback. They were asking a little bit more. I tried to bring them down, but it was no avail.
A Subaru?
Yeah, easy. Man.
Easy, Bear. Somebody
Go
on
ahead,
this
Bear.
Show might
Go
be
ahead,
driving
Bear.
A Subaru.
Go ahead, Bear.
Carry on.
Fine automobiles, Stevie. Fine automobiles.
It's a terrific vehicle. I mean, you got the Boxer, the four-cylinder. Well, this one's actually a six-cylinder, but
you know what? When I had a car being worked on a couple of years ago, they gave me an Outback as a loaner, and I'm thinking, oh, my God, you're putting me in a station wagon, really? And I did not want to give that thing back.
Not as bad as you think
they
are.
It was comfortable.
Now, are they?
It was nice.
It's a good car. But listen, these quarterbacks, I mean, McCarthy to the Vikings, everyone knows that's not going to work out, Russ.
On the surface, there appear to be some issues. We'll see if Kevin O'Connell really is the quarterback whisperer he claims to be, I suppose. I mean, you talk about quarterback desperate. Like, they got to have somebody, right?
Yeah, you can't start Sam Darnold.
So what did we think of the Titans draft? Was it fruitful?
I think like anybody else's, we won't know for a year or two.
Yeah.
I think they fill needs. I mean, if you end up getting three starters out of it, which is the hope, then it's a pretty darn good draft because we got a lot of holes, and it looked like Latham, Sweat, and Gray could all be potential day one starters, and if they are and they're productive, then – I think it will have been a very good draft.
Latham far and away is the ahead.
Oh, thanks, Bear. I have an idea. We give the umpires Apple Vision Pro goggles with a little strike zone augmented to reality. That way can see the little square thing.
We see the squares. Why can't they see the squares? You could probably do that. It's actually a really good idea.
I think so, too.
You combine the human element and the technology. Well done, Stevie. Well done, Tucker. Pretty well done, Bear. I'm just kidding. You did a fantastic job. Folks, we love you. Thanks to Smoky Stadium for having us out today. We're going to go watch some baseball. Overtime headed your way next. We'll do it again tomorrow right here on Fan Run Radio.